Get your Bibles out, and I'd like for you to turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. And here in Matthew chapter 2, we find a part of the Christmas story. But I do want to just real quick, if you don't mind, I wasn't going to do it, but I might as well. Let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read the Christmas story first, talking about the birth of Jesus. And then we'll read into chapter 2 as well. It says this, verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, had in mind to divorce her privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that he called him a he before he was ever born. Don't you think that says something about abortion nowadays? Huh? God knows who that individual is. It's a person. It's not just flesh. Anyways, he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this occurred to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child, and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being awakened from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and remained with his wife, and did not know her until she had given birth to her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The Christmas story. But in chapter 2, verse 1, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ should be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no longer the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, carefully inquired of them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again so that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great excitement, or exceeding great joy, as the King James would say. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route or another way. And so I want to speak with you just for a few short moments this morning on the subject of wise men still seek after Jesus. Wise men still seek after Jesus. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to relate to this, your people, which you have placed upon my heart. I ask, Lord, that it would make sense, that, Lord, you would make it clear in the hearts and the spirit. And so I ask for the anointing, Lord, the ability to be able to speak with your unction. And I ask that most of all, that your word would be implanted in the heart by faith. Be with us, Lord, as we hear your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. This portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 2 is actually a part that happens sometime later after the birth of Jesus. Many times in our Christmas plays or in our manger scenes, we have the quote-unquote three wise men there along with the shepherds beholding Jesus as that young baby boy wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. However, the biblically correct rendering of when these wise men came was probably either 40 days after his birth to 2 years after his birth. Jesus, more than likely, when these wise men came to see Jesus, what they saw when they entered into the house was a young toddler, a little baby boy. He was not that little infant wrapped in swaddling clothes anymore. He was probably already walking, a little toddler, and you can imagine, probably full of life. There are different hints and clues that tell us this. The reason why is because these wise men came to ask Herod about the star, and they said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And as Herod began to inquire about when they first saw the star and to when they saw the Christ child, it was probably a span of some 2 years or so. Why do we know that? Well, because later on, after this account, Herod gets upset because the wise men don't go back to where Herod was. They went back home another route. And in their return, Herod got upset. And he said, "I'm going to go and kill this child that is born king of the Jews." And you'll notice that when he went to Bethlehem of Judea, he killed every child from 2 years of age and under. And so that helps us to see a little bit about the timing of what was happening here. And they saw a young toddler, Jesus. And I can only imagine what that sight was like. I mean, there's nothing like looking at a little child who is some 1 to 2 years of age. I mean, aren't they full of life? And I can imagine Jesus being that way. Another thing that is unique about the story is whenever Jesus was born, we all know that Jesus was born not in a hotel room, but in a manger, right? In a kind of barn. But at this particular point, you find that the wise men went into a house. By this time, they were already in their own home, probably in Bethlehem, maybe somewhere else. Well, it had to have been Bethlehem. What am I saying? But another house in Bethlehem. It was, they were already had their own living quarters, so to say. And so a lot of things to help us to think through the story. You know, another thing that is interesting is that, you know, we always sing the song, "We three kings of Orient are." There's nothing scripturally that tells us there were three literal kings. They gave three different types of gifts, yes. But it could have been a whole company of wise men altogether. It didn't have to be just three men. And so anyways, just wanted to bring some clarity there. I don't mean to burst your bubble if we just believed it all happened the same day, but it really didn't. To be honest with you, Christmas Day really didn't even happen on December the 25th. Many believe it probably happened in the spring. And so, oh man, come on, Pastor James, you're just bursting the bubbles all over the place. Come on. The point is, Jesus was born, wasn't he? And he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. That is the whole of the story. Jesus was born of the Virgin to live his life in a perfect way, a way that all of us should live but could not. So he did it for us. Amen? As God's representative man. Now, in chapter 2, though, of Matthew, we find this story and the account of these wise men. These wise men probably came from the east, as it says, from the east, from somewhere in the east. Many believe probably in the parts of Persia. That would be modern-day Iran. They came from this place, and they were a people that were accustomed to studying the stars. They looked at the stars, and they began to speculate about what they saw, of course, in those heavenly bodies, the stars themselves. Some of these men were political men, men of influence. Some of them were religious men. Many of them prominent men, like "We Three Kings," as the song says. They were regarded as very influential, more than likely. In studying the stars, they noticed a new star had appeared in the skies. And it was believed by many in those days that when a new star appeared in the heavens, that it had to have been that a person of great importance was then born, like a king. And so in studying the stars, these magi, or magi, I don't know how you say the word, that's short for magicians, these magi, in studying these celestial bodies, began to contemplate, they began to think about it, and they noticed, look, there's a new star. And somehow they began to question and wonder, where would this be? Where was this birth? And something told them, and we're not necessarily sure how or in what way, but this star began to lead them from the east down to the city of Jerusalem, where everyone was astounded when they approached Herod the Great. These magi came to Herod and they began to question him as far as where is he that is to be born king of the Jews? The star had led him all the way to Jerusalem. And there, Herod, who was the leader there in Jerusalem under the Roman government at the time, began to wonder about this great thing. The Bible says Jerusalem was astounded. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this whole company of these wise men are coming into the town. There's a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. Who are these people? Why are they here? They're asking to talk to Herod, and you can imagine the whole city is talking about it. And so the whole city is stirred because of what's happening, and they're asking, there is a king to be born of the Jews here. And they said to him, where? And so the Bible says that Herod gathered the scribes, the people that knew the word of God, the law of God. You see, Herod found associations with the Pharisees of Jesus' day. These were the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and those doctors of the law. And so he gathered them together and they said, well, where is the king supposed to be born? And the scripture they came to was in Micah. And it says in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no longer the least among the princes of Judah. For out of you shall come a governor who will shepherd my people Israel." Can you imagine? They get into the Old Testament and they come into the prophets. And they find in the scripture where this king is to be born. It's so interesting, the terminology and what is happening in the area of Israel right now. Can you imagine? There's been reports about a virgin that gave birth to a child, and now there's all this stuff going on in Jerusalem, and they're saying a king was born. A king was born. Here in Jerusalem, somewhere in Israel, where at? And now they're saying it's going to be in Bethlehem. And so these wise men are excited. There is something in their hearts that they knew this king had been born, and they came with the intention to worship him. And what I find so interesting is this, is that these were not the religious Jews in Israel. They weren't Jews. They didn't even have Jewish blood. They were Gentile. And these Gentiles, in just looking at the stars, they begin to realize a king has been born and they're ready to come to worship this king. And so they make their way from the east all the way to Jerusalem, and now they know where he was, somewhere in Bethlehem. But then the Bible says that he began to say, well, where and when and how long has this star been around? And they told him. So he's, of course, saying, so I can worship him. But, of course, his intention was a lot worse than that. But then it says in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and the star that they saw in the east went before them. It's amazing. By some miracle, we really don't know how, but this star was moving. And it says that this star that they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And it says when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This one says they rejoiced with great excitement. There was an anticipation in their hearts. A king had been born. And they were bearing these gifts, and there was this excitement to want to worship this king that was born. And now the star is leading them, and it rests over where the young child was. Can you imagine? There must have been light shining saying, look, this is the house or something. But they knew exactly where to go. And the Bible says that they went into that house. And they began to walk into this house and they saw with their own eyes this young child. Now notice it doesn't say this young baby. This young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and began to worship him. These were men of prominence. These were kings. These were men of influence from the East. They were wealthy, and you can see that because of the gifts that they brought to the young child Jesus. And these men of prominence, these men of importance, these Gentile men, when they saw this young child, they fell prostrate before this young child. Can you imagine if you were Mary and Joseph and you saw all of this? I mean, did they come on camels? Did their whole party come in camels? And were they dressed in such beautiful apparel? Did they look like majestic people? They probably did. And all of a sudden, they walk into this house and they fall down before this young child and they're worshiping. And I'm going to tell you that the wise still seek after Jesus. Sometimes it would seem as if those that are seeking after Jesus are unwise. The world out there paints a dark picture about those that seek after God, don't they? They make any Christian or anyone that is seeking after God as to be the scum of the earth. It's amazing how Satan is able to make evil look good and make good look evil, isn't it? And that's the way the enemy works. And he wants to make it seem like anyone that attends church is just, they're just poor, they have nothing else. And so why else should they not seek after God? But that isn't the case. Wise men will seek after Jesus Christ with all of their hearts. And in the same way that these men were moved there in the East, they were moved and drawn to Jesus. There is the moving of the Holy Spirit in our day. And God's Holy Spirit is knocking on heart's door. I believe that He is still doing it here in Center, Colorado. Amen? I believe He's still doing it here in the San Luis Valley, in the United States of America, where God's Holy Spirit is knocking and He's saying, there is a Savior. There is a Redeemer. There is a Savior of the whole world. And if they will begin to listen to that voice, that still small voice of God's Holy Spirit, and they will begin to seek after God, God will answer them by leading them right to the door of Jesus. Amen? Did you know Jesus called Himself a door? Praise the Lord! And He'll bring them right to the door, right to where He is. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care where that individual is. I don't care if they're in a nation like the United States where the gospel is plentiful, or if they're in a place in the Middle East, one of the areas that they call the 1040 window where there is no access to the gospel. When God's Holy Spirit begins to knock on that heart and that man begins to be wise and seek after God, He will lead them right to where He exists. Amen. And these wise men came right to where the child was because this star was leading them right to where He was. And I love the fact that when they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. There is such joy in the heart that is the result of seeking after Jesus. There's a joy that this world can't give and this world can't take away. This world is looking for true joy. They think they're going to find it in things or in people or in wealth or in popularity. But it only brings more emptiness. Only Jesus brings exceeding great joy. But they came and they were prostrate before this young child, this little toddler Jesus. And they're worshiping Him. They're honoring Him. They're paying homage to Jesus, this little toddler boy. And then it says, they opened their treasures. And it says, they presented to Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these gifts are very interesting because many believe that there is some kind of thing to be said about what these gifts represent. But the kings knew that those gifts were used to honor, listen to this, a new king. These Gentiles knew that that baby, even though he had no crown on his head per se, they knew that that young child was king. Amen? And so they knew he was king, so they were on their face before him as they should be. Amen? And then they began to present him these gifts, and these gifts were always used to honor kings, especially those of royalty. And that's why they gave him those gifts. But it's also important that some believe that those gifts had different implications. For instance, the gold were gifts to honor Christ as the king. The other incense was used to bring the smell, the fragrant spices and perfumes that were appropriate for adoration, to worship him, but also to bring forth a part of worship, not only to adore him, but to worship him. That smell of incense was just a smell that reflected that. But it also has been shown to show this. Gold might represent his deity and purity. The incense, the fragrance of his perfect life. And the myrrh, representing the sacrifice of his life and death, because myrrh was used for embalming that dead individual. Either way, these Gentiles presented these gifts to the king. And there is something about what you and I must do when we come to our King Jesus. Amen? You know, I've always loved that song, The Little Drummer Boy. I don't know about you, but I like that Little Drummer Boy song. And I just always picture that little drummer boy just playing his drum. I don't know who wrote the song. I have no clue. But there he is playing the drum for Jesus, so to say, in that song. But I've always liked the statement, I will play my best for you. Ba-dum-ba-bum-bum. Amen. And those wise men brought their best to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you and I, when we come to Jesus, we must give to him our best. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for our scraps. Amen? We were talking about a little bit earlier, you know, sometimes there are certain things that can take our attention. You know, and sometimes, you know, we get so busy with things or things that we're doing that we don't have time to spend with Jesus. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then we finally try to do it and then we're falling asleep. You know, I've been there. I mean, you know, I'm there trying to read or trying to pray, and before I know it, I'm making Mimi, you know, there on the couch. You know, I'm trying to read and all of a sudden, whew, you know, if you have trouble sleeping, wake up, get your Bible and start reading. Sometimes that's the best sleep medicine, reading your Bible. It's a conspiracy of interruptions, Pastor David Wilkerson called in. That's beside the point. You know, we should be very intentional to the best of our ability to give him our best. Amen? Our best time, our best during the day or what have you. Our best in our gifts, our abilities. When we go to work, we do our best for him. Amen? We come to church because we want to give him our best. When we are around people, we do our best because we want Jesus to get our best no matter what we do, no matter where we are. Amen? And so we can learn a lot from these magi, these wise men from the East. They were led to Jesus. And if you, in your heart, want God, you will be led to Jesus. But when you're being led to him and you find him, as we all have, most of us in this room have, we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we present to him our best. Amen. And so during this Christmas season, not only was he the greatest gift given, but because he was the greatest gift given, let's give him the greatest. In other words, let's give him our best. Amen. That doesn't mean we have to go and buy a gift for the baby Jesus per se. Jesus isn't a baby anymore. Amen. He's in his glory. He is Almighty God. I mean, it's amazing. But let's give him our best. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. Thank God for his word and thank God for the Christmas story and all the different elements that are there. I just love the Christmas story and all the different elements that are there. He came for you. He came for me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.